This is Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America. And from Nashville, Tennessee, I'm your host, Gary Holt. Saddle Up America is brought to you by TrailGuard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance. Learn more about TrailGuard and how they can guard you down life's trails at trailguard.org. This past Saturday morning, we lost a dear friend and part of Equestrian Legacy Radio's family, Susanna Gibson. Susanna's three-year battle with cancer ended at home, surrounded by friends and family. Susanna was the founder and publisher of Trailblazer magazine and was a regular monthly guest since the beginning of Saddle Up America. Susanna was funny, bright, and passionate about improving the relationship between horses and their people. She was generous in her support of Equestrian Legacy Radio's benefit for the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation. This morning, I want to share Susanna's first visit on Equestrian Legacy Radio's Campfire Cafe from August of 2014. It was her first interview in 20 years, and I think you'll feel like you know more about this amazing woman after listening to this show. My friend Belinda Gale is the first guest on the show, and Susanna's interview is the second segment. I'll miss Susanna's warmth and her humor and our conversations both on and off the air. Now here's the show.
This is Equestrian Legacy Radio's Campfire Cafe, and I'm your host, Gary Holt. Today we visit with multi-award-winning singer-songwriter Belinda Gale and Susanna Gibson, the founder and publisher of Trailblazer Magazine. Campfire Cafe is brought to you today by our sponsors at the General Store and the Gallery at East of Santa Fe. You'll find everything for the horse lover and those that love the equestrian lifestyle at equestrianlegacy.net. When we come back, we'll be talking with Belinda Gale.
But I can do that. It wouldn't take nothing but a whole lot of heart, iron will and gumption. I'll just you. But the good Lord gave me, so don't call me honey. Don't call me baby. I'm faithful, I never cease to be amazed, dedicated and grateful. I try to be a good hand, and the hands are fluted. I'll stay that way, long as I'm living and breathing. And I'll die with my boots on. I ride high in the saddle, always saddle my own horse, till I'm every inch a lady. From the outside of the core, I'll take the trail of travel. If I know where it leads, I'll live my life. The cowgirl free. I can hear my heroes on the western wind. Saying what's holding you back, what's keeping you in. I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I live my life.
Cowgirl Creed, and we're so happy to have Belinda joining us today. Belinda is a multi-award-winning singer-songwriter, and we're just happy to have her. The last time we talked, she was in an airport, and we had some background noise, and Belinda, I'm getting a little feedback right now.
Seriously, are you? I will move around.
Okay.
I'm sitting at home.
Okay. I don't know whether we're on speakerphone or whether there's something in the background. But anyway, well, that sounds all right now. But anyway, welcome to the show. We're so happy to have you join us.
I'm delighted, and I'm glad I'm not in an airport. I cannot control the background noise in an airport.
Well, that was a fun show, and that was... that was real close to Valentine weekend, so here we are almost at Labor Day. Time flies.
It does. It's amazing how fast this year is just zipping away.
Well, it has, and I know that there are a lot of things that have been going on with you since we talked last, but for our folks that maybe are joining us for the first time, and we want to bring them a little bit up to speed about how you got started in the music business.
Well, I've sung all my life. Music was a big part of our family growing up, which I think is probably a common story with a lot of musicians and singer-songwriters, but I was blessed to have a musical family. And, of course, sang in church, and through that, I was asked to be a part of a little casual band, and actually had some opportunities to do more with my music when I had a young family. I chose to...
Well, we've lost Belinda there for just a minute, and while we're waiting for her to get back on the line, let me mention to folks that on Equestrian Legacy Radio, we have now set up a new program called the Legacy Club in appreciation for our listeners, and the Legacy Club is free. You can join that by going to equestrianlegacy.net. We have a lot of great sponsors that have joined us as Legacy Club sponsors, and there are discounts available for our members of the Legacy Club. We're doing a great drawing each month for some tremendous gifts for our Legacy Club members, and with your membership, you're automatically entered in those contests. This month, we're giving away a great laser-etched portable fire ring. It's a beautiful fire ring, and it's made by the shop, made in the USA, right there in Texas. And so that's our August gift, and then we have a grand prize drawing at the end of the year, and that is for a really revolutionary two-horse trailer automatic watering system, and that's being provided by Hydro Horse. And you can visit them on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. So be sure and take advantage of the Legacy Club. You can join there and just visit the Legacy Club for your free membership. So we're going to wait for Belinda to get back on the line again. But while we're waiting, here's a song from one of her great albums, and it's called The Warm A Wee Wind. This is Equestrian Legacy Radio. We'll be back in just a moment.
My cowboy was in the wind, a warm, mighty wind, beating every part of me in the vast of all the ten. Somehow when we're together, we're more than each could be. My heart has wings, oh how it sings when he washes over me, like the warm Hawaii wind. He hardly sees me watching as we're rolling side by side in the early light of morning, as out to the herd we ride. Alone to face the dawn, so I drink him in with an aching and a longing every cowboy's wife has known. But I'll have the moon prints of our love that he paints upon my skin when my cowboy watches on me like a wall on the bed. But for the memory of his touch to hold me safely well, the loneliness can beckon, though not pull me deeper in. Its memory, the warm to me, till he comes home again on the warm Hawaii. I tremble as I see him, that full gallop to my side. Quick to the ground, his eyes seek mine, his strong arms open wide. And his love-filled gaze so thrills me, more than just a memory. His light so warm, oh why he wins, he wants his own.
Belinda's back with us. Belinda, it wouldn't be fun if it weren't live radio.
I'm shouting because I was talking away and didn't realize I was gone.
Oh, goodness. Well, it's like, oh, she's not there anymore. It was real funny. A few months ago, we had Bryn Hill on the show, and I know that you know Bryn. Just
yes.
A great young guy. And he was calling on his landline from out in Utah. And I think we dropped the call about three times. And finally he called on his cell phone, and we had no problem after that. So that happens. It's just part of live radio.
Live radio. Gotta love it.
Gotta love it. But anyway, I think we were talking about how you got started. I don't know whether it was when we were talking about you performing some in church and the Lord took a little role in disconnecting us there or not. But
all right. Well, I'll try to do a little more condensed version of it really fast. after a church, then I was able to sing through some connections that I made through that. I was able to sing in a little casual band while my children were growing up. I had some opportunities to do, more national kind of something with my music at that time, but decided to just stay at home and get my children raised before I pursued anything with music, because I knew that would be a lot of road time and away from my family, and I wasn't willing to do that. And so then when my youngest was a junior in high school, I was approached by someone to, do a more national kind of level performing, and jumped on it at that point. And I was with that manager. It was actually a guy who approached me up managing me, and that was for about 2 years. I worked with him as my manager, and we were pursuing country music, country western music, I called it. And
right.
Then through that, I was able to meet. I was introduced to Patsy Montana, who was just iconic. She was the first million-selling record for a woman in 1935. She wrote and recorded the song called "I Want to Be a Cowboy Sweetheart," which I had learned. Just, to yodel, because I think that's so fun. And The gentleman introduced me to Patsy, and she encouraged me to be singing Western music as opposed to country. And, of course, I didn't realize the difference at that point, and she needed to explain it to me. And then I realized that that's what I was raised on, that kind of music, and it more closely reflected my roots and my value system. And so I decided to make the big switch, got to be good friends with Patsy, and my manager bailed because he said there's no money in it, and he was right. But there is a lot of satisfaction, and I was able to go full-time in 2001, and I've been doing it full-time ever since, and it's been wonderful, a wonderful, rewarding life. Met incredible people, both as people who love the music and the performers and songwriters, and I just could not ask for a better life. It's been a wonderful ride.
Well, and your music is great, and I've told you this before. I think you have one of the best voices in music, period, whether it's country, western, or cowboy, or any genre. You just have a tremendous voice.
Oh, that's so sweet, Barry. Thank you.
Well, you really do, and we're going to talk about Granite Mountain in just a little bit, but I do want to mention there are two songs on there that, well, more than two, but there are two that just really struck me. One is Shenandoah, and you do that a cappella. And, oh, wow, I mean, I listened to that and absolutely just blew me away. And then the other is it Until Then?
Until Then, yes. Stuart Hamblin, yes, it's actually a Stuart Hamblin song that his grandson sent to me, and I've been very fortunate to get to know the Hamblin family. I met and was able to sing it at Stuart's wife's 100th birthday party, which was very fun. She's no longer with us, but yes, I am. That song just kind of blows me away. It's very simple. But man, is it timely. It was written in the 50s, but I think it really super applies to what's going on in our world these days and where we should be as Christians. And so, and I always include a gospel song on my CDs. I wouldn't be doing this if the Lord hadn't given me the gift of stewarding some music, stewarding this voice that he's given me. And so I always want to honor him.
Well, it's a great song. I think that was the first time I'd heard that song, and I may have shared this with you, but I listened to that and I actually had tears coming down my face. And so, you know, there's a lot of fun songs on Granite Mountain, but those two particularly just kind of struck me. And then there's one, I think, what is it, Jake's Coffee?
Don't touch the bait. That song is, I mean, I just wanted something fun and light because I have some heavy songs. I mean, they're historical songs and they're just, you know, true to life songs. That's what I love to sing about, life. But I wanted something kind of light and fun to break it up. So I wrote that song and took inspiration from an April Fool's joke that my sisters and I played on our mother when we were little. And the woman, my mother loved this coffee. We didn't talk. She was like, don't talk to her until she'd had her first cup of coffee. I mean, there's a lot of people like that. And she used a lot of sugar in her coffee. And so we thought it'd be really fun to switch the sugar for the salt. And so it just didn't go very well for us.
Oh, gosh. Well, it's a great song. And I'm one of those people. I have folks that call me early in the morning. And I don't answer the phone until I've had at least two cups of coffee. So I thought, oh that's
nice. Totally appreciate that. Yeah.
I appreciated that song. I never know where we're going to go with conversation when I'm talking with someone, which is part of what makes this fun. Western music. And when I started this program and we started adding musical guest of the show. It was in September a year ago. And I didn't really know which direction I was going to go with the music. I'm just outside of Nashville. It would be real natural for me to do a lot of country. But yeah, I seem to gravitate and have gravitated to the Western music. And our audience enjoys that. I mean, we've got an audience that listens across the world, and they love the Western music and the Western lifestyle. And just recently, I've had several of the young artists that have been on or are coming on. We had Kristen Harris on a couple of weeks ago.
Excellent, yes.
And Mickey Daniel is coming on sometime in September, I think toward the middle part of the month. What would you tell these young Western artists that are coming up today?
Well, I know both of those young ladies, and they're both very gifted and talented, and we are so proud to have them in our genre. And I think these young Western artists coming up are following their heart and following their passion as far as the lifestyle and the music that they enjoy and what they enjoy singing about. And I think as artists, we have to make a decision about that, early on in our careers, hopefully. Some do it later. Are you just singing commercial money, trying to make money, or are you following your passion? And like I said, unfortunately, Western just seems to be flying under the radar. Mainstream music just will not recognize it as its own genre, like bluegrass or whatever. And they I think because it's tied to people like, Gene Autry and Roy Rogers and, that group, and that they don't, Rex Allen, and they don't understand or don't even seem to take the time to understand that there are amazing singers and songwriters that are writing current, relevant Western music. And our hope is that it's going to ignite one of these. I think it speaks to what is important to the fabric of our country, and people seem to really enjoy it because it is real and it's true and it's authentic, and there's nothing pretentious or puffed up about it. It just is real. And I believe that that's going to speak more profoundly as time is going on and as our world is getting crazy. People are going to want to, find something that kind of anchors them into what's real and what's important. And I think the music, I feel like the music is growing and gaining an audience. And these young ones that are coming up, they live their lifestyle. They love the lifestyle. They love what it stands for, and I would just encourage them to hold true to what's important to them and sing about what's important to them and then let the chips fall where they may from that.
Well, that's good advice, and there are some great young artists that are coming up. And, when I talked to Kristen a few weeks ago, I said, at your age, what was it that caused you to go with the Western music versus country or maybe even pop? And she said it was the realization for her that it was more of where she found her values going and kind of the lifestyle that she was accustomed to being a Texas girl. And so I think it's great. And our audience is certainly enjoying meeting the Western artist and being introduced to music they may not have been as familiar with. And absolutely great, absolutely great music. There is a your CD, the latest CD, Granite House, is just terrific. And I would encourage everybody to order this and listen to the music. But you have been nominated by the Western Music Association for 2014 for Album of the Year, Song of the Year, Female Performer of the Year, Entertainer of the Year, and then additionally a song that Joyce Woodson wrote called He Sang for Me, you performed, has been nominated as well as Song of the Year. Wow.
I know, I'm smiling so big right now. I still am pinching myself. I am a lot of the nomination process for Western Music Association is a lot. It's partially fan based, but the majority of the members are performing members, and so this is recognition from my peers, which is incredibly gratifying, but just so affirming that that you're on track and that you're doing it right. And I think that's the biggest thing for me, is just that affirmation that okay, I'm doing this, I'm on track, and I just am unbelievably humbled and grateful, and just still can't quite take in all those nominations. It's really kind of blowing me away.
Well, it is fantastic, well deserved, and there's some great artists that have been nominated along with you for some of these other songs. just a deep, deep field. And but we want to play right now for folks the title song from Granite Mountain. And we're talking with Belinda Gale. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, and when we come back, we'll be talking more with Belinda.
Rises up from the valley floor, covered with rocks and so much more, lurks between the junipers and boulders. Out in the lion prickly pear, there is danger, be aware. Don't forget, look back over your shoulder. In the shadow, the beauty here will mesmerize, but don't forget those wary eyes, always creeping there in the hollow. Great mountain, oh, the silhouette we know so well. Great mountain, sometimes you are heaven. Straddle life in the old and new way. Some say golden cattle drew them all. We know the mountains threw them off. Nothing left but the wild train. Granite Mountain, oh, the silhouette we know so well.
Mountain, and that is the title song for her latest CD, Granite Mountain, who's been, and that's been nominated for Album of the Year. So, Belinda, we're running out of time today. Always seems like we don't have enough time to talk.
We don't.
It's the West Music Association has their awards show coming up in Albuquerque, New Mexico in November. And
yes.
What happens there?
That is at the conventions, all of the performers converge, and we have workshops. There are a lot of showcases that are going on. It's open to the public. The showcases during the day are for free. And even if you don't go into the showcases, there's usually jams breaking out in every corner of that Marriott Hotel in Albuquerque. And then there are evening shows. We have an Opry-style radio show one night. We have a Crisis Fund dinner show one night. Then the award show is on Saturday night and Cowboy Church on Sunday morning. It's a wonderful weekend. And if people are interested in Western music and really want to just kind of get kind of immersed in it for the weekend and really get it figured out, that would be a great place to go. And Albuquerque is just fun to go to.
Well, it is. I've been up there was up there for the Arabian Nationals several years ago, and then loved visiting Old Town and little areas surrounding Albuquerque. Corrales, New Mexico, was a place that just was like horse heaven when I visited there.
Definitely.
Yeah, can folks like me come and be part of that event?
Oh, absolutely. It's, like I said, it's open to the public. They can go on westernmusic.org and reserve tickets and find out all the information that they want to know about Western Music Association and what's going on in Albuquerque. Absolutely. And you had mentioned really quickly that you wanted to cover this, and I just really want to give it a quick mention. I'm part of the steering committee and getting an event off the ground called Home on the Ranch in Wickenburg, Arizona in October, the first weekend in October. And that's the first event of its kind that strictly is celebrating women in ranching and in agriculture. And everything you can imagine that women get involved in on ranches is going to be highlighted and featured, and from cooking to sewing to concerts and poets and artists and craftsmen and craftswomen, I guess I should say. And
right.
We have a Facebook page and a website, and I would love for women to check that. Men are welcome too, but it's really geared towards women, and I think it's going to be fabulous. And part of the reason most of us are doing this Western music is to keep this heritage alive and vibrant, and so it was just a no-brainer to get involved with that event. That's really what it's all about.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a great event. I know you're going to be there. I believe Gene Prescott's going to be there as well. And
right.
That is...
Adrian's going to be there. Have you had Adrian on yet?
I haven't. Is that Adrian Buckaroo?
Yes, Buckaroo Girl. Yes, Adrian. Buckaroo Girl. And I mean, when she's not touring, just for fun, she goes and rides Bronx, you know, in ranch rodeos. So I mean, she's wild. She's so fun. But she's going to be there. It's going to be a really wonderful performance and poet lineup, and then just ranch women coming in from all over Arizona to talk about the history and of their families and ranching as women. And I mean, it's going to be, if you love the lifestyle and are more interested in really hearing about it from, you know, authentically from the women who lived the life, it's going to be a fabulous event.
Well, it should be. We titled the show today, How the West Was Won, Women of the West. And so
great.
I think that was kind of appropriate. So that's October
Absolutely.
3rd through 5th in Wickenburg, Arizona, and that's Home on the Ranch. You can visit their Facebook page. And your website for folks that are listening is BelindaGaleThings.com?
Yes. And then I have little snippets of the entire Granite Mountain album right on the front page of that. They can go through and listen to that. And then, of course, it is available on iTunes as well if people want to go to iTunes and get it there.
All right. Well, we've encouraged people to do that. It's a great CD, just a wide variety of music, songs that will make you cry, make you laugh, and have heritage of the West that's involved in that. So I appreciate you being on the show so much. Always good to talk to you. And we're going to wish you the best at Albuquerque when
yeah,
they
thank you. And I know this is really cliche, but I mean, really, truly, just to get those nominations has just got me flying off, you know, off the ground. So
well,
I'm really, whatever happens in Albuquerque is in God's hands, and in the meantime, I'm just really thrilled. But thank you, Gary, for what you do. I mean, you getting this music out there, we're so grateful for that. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, and it's a great genre of music, and we're happy to introduce people to the music. But thanks, Belinda Gale. We're going to close this segment of the show with another song from the Granite Mountain CD, and that's Navajo Trail. And all I can say is buy the CD and enjoy Belinda's music. Thanks so much. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Susanna Gibson, the founder and publisher of Trailblazer Magazine. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Every day along with our evening, when the sunlight's beginning to fade, I ride the slumbering shadows along the Navajo Trail. When it's night, tickets are calling, poor coyotes are making a way. I see my smoldering fire along the Navajo Trail.
Gibson is the founder and publisher of Trailblazer Magazine. She is a horsewoman and an interesting woman to talk with. And Susanna, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. I love Belinda's music. I am going to download her new album today right after the show. Best music. That's just amazing. So good to talk to you. This is going to be fun. I haven't done an interview in 20 years. I'm really a recluse. I just stay back behind the curtain producing the magazine, and I'm not a real public person, but it just sounded like fun to be able to talk to you and your audience.
Well, I am grateful that you're joining us today, and we've actually advertised this as a rare interview with you, so we're tickled to have you on here. But you're so much fun to talk with. We've talked a couple of times before the show, and so many things that we can talk about, and we'll try to cover as much as we can today. But let's talk a little bit about your horse background. How did you get started with horses?
always loved horses. Read every Black Stallion book and Black Beauty book and every horse book in the little library. So I just had a passion for horses, and whenever I'd see one in a parade or something and I had the ability to go up and pet it, I mean, I was just like, you know, melting. It was so amazing. And then one day when I was about 25 years old, it occurred to me that here I'm starting my life and I'm buying couches and chairs and things, and what I really want is a horse. So met with a guy that had a, he said he'd sell me his quarter, old quarter for $250, and come to find out she was pregnant and had a full letter slide. So I started out with a little bit more than I planned. So that was a really fun time. Didn't have a clue what I was doing at all, but my baby sister and I, at the time she was in high school, we would do gymkhana and barrel racing, and didn't know any better, but we'd take the mare, we'd enter in every single class, and I would ride in the senior division, and then Rebecca would turn around and ride in the junior division. And that poor old horse, which we found out later was close to 30 years old, I didn't know.
Oh, wow.
Looked in her mouth and, oh, my gosh, no teeth. few things to learn when you buy a horse. But that's how I started. And then went to an endurance ride, 50-mile endurance ride that was local, and was just really fascinated by that. Met a girl that did endurance riding, told me she had an older 16-year-old Arabian that she would retire, but she let me ride him. And so she gave him to me. And I started looked at the paper, and I used to read about 50-mile races, and I thought, oh, that'd be fun, but, oh, I could never do that. Oh, my gosh, I could never do that. But I did it. I went out and rode a 50-mile ride, and boy, did I hurt. rubbed raw everywhere. I mean, everything hurt, but it was just the time of my life, and we finished and had a great time, and that was kind of the beginning of horses. And then for the next 15 years, I competed in the sport of endurance horse racing, doing 50 and 100-mile races. Retired from that about 10 years ago.
Oh, wow. Well, let me ask you about the endurance racing. We've had Keith Keebler on the show before. Keith.
Yeah.
I think
he writes for us, yeah.
Yeah, and just a great, great guy. I enjoy Keith very much. But how do people prepare for something like a 50 and 100 miles? And did you ever do the Tevis?
Weirdly enough, I never did Tevis. There was always something that came up in my life. I crewed for people who did the Tevis. I went to the Tevis. My horses were in Tevis. But that's one of few regrets in my life. I don't have many regrets, but it was one that I really regretted was that I didn't do that one. But I did the Bighorn 100. I did the Old Dominion 100 back in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a lot of races around the country, but the Tevis is just the best. I mean, just the history behind it. And every year when they have a really cool way that they do it electronically now online, and you can follow the race and the horses and the times pretty much live. And I still sit there for 24 hours and, you know, watch how the race unfolds.
Oh, wow. Wow.
But to get started, it looks so easy. But if you don't ride within the limits of the horse, you can kill your horse because they're
right.
So willing. The horses, that's why we race horses, and we don't race, you know, cows and giraffes. I mean, horses are competitive. So that's the main thing, is that you have to start slow. You have to put a lot of miles on your horse in training. It's really important that your horse is well-mannered. If you come to a tricky part of the trail where you have to stop and the horse has to side pass or back up or all those things they teach you in the show ring, well, it's real life out there, life and death. And
right.
You have to have a really, really good horse. So I think endurance horses are just magnificent because of the fact that they're brilliant athletes, but they also have to be really good, solid-minded horses. They can't, can't be crazy. They have to, you know, otherwise nobody would live.
Right. Well, I have a pet peeve, and that is if somebody ever uses the phrase, they're just a trail horse, that just kind of strikes me the wrong way, because I think a good trail horse embodies everything that you need to have in a sound-minded athletic horse.
That is absolutely the truth. They are the best horses there are, because, again, you don't make a big deal about it, but those horses have to, like I said, they have to know how to be balanced. They have to be, everything that you learn in dressage and in the ring, you do it real time out on the trail, or you die. I mean, it's not that dramatic, but you can get in a lot of trouble. And I think trail horses are really, really one of the top, I don't call them athletes. Absolutely. You go out and climb up and down those hills. There's a lot of show horses that can't do anything beyond going in an arena. They have never been allowed to be a horse before.
Right, right. And it's not that they can't. They just haven't had that experience. And but it does take a different type of conditioning to have a trail horse that can go out and do, you know, 16, 18, 20 miles in a day.
Mm-hmm.
And at my age, it takes a lot of conditioning for the rider to be able to go out and do 21 miles
a
day.
Well, you build on those. I mean, the first, whenever I would go for a period of not riding horses, and then I would get back in the saddle again, I can remember the day after being, whoa, am I sore. But you pretty much get used to it, and you just learn. I mean, there's a certain way to ride a horse when you're going at the trot and the canter, or fast walk or gating. There's the correct way to ride, so it is easier on you. And there's clothing that, I know real cowboys don't wear tights, but there are, you know, running tights and breeches and things like that that most of the people ride, and they don't ride in Levi's.
Right.
Levi's and cowboy boots are wonderful for hanging around the barn, but they're not going to make it when you get out on the trail, because you could often run or walk or tail. Sometimes if it's a steep hill, you jump off and you've taught your horse to grab onto his tail, and he powers up the hill and pulls you along, you know, just to make it easier on him. So you're out there trail riding, you're doing a lot of stuff. Plus, just the fact of hooking up a horse trailer and, you know, loading in all the feed and all the stuff that you've got to bring when you're out there, and here you are in your 50s, 60s, 70s, and you're, you know, taking care of your horse and hauling 5-gallon water buckets and all that. I mean, that's a lot of work.
That is a lot of work, and but it helps keep you in shape and in good condition, so it's a good activity to get involved in. Well, what is your horse activity today?
I have a magnificent saddle that fits me like a glove, and a carrier, and I go around and ride horses at other people's places. I've given up. I decided to move to town and live in town, but I see horses all the time, and I really enjoy traveling, even some trips around the world, different countries that I've traveled to where I've been able to ride horses. One of the great perks of this job is that every month, sometimes even every week, I get invites from pretty amazing places that say, you know, we'll pay all your expenses if you'll come here and, you know, spend the week with us and then write about riding horses. I did that down in Jamaica
Years
ago. Yeah, so not a bad gig to have. So that's pretty much what I've done. Or Ginger Catrons, I think you've either had her on your show or you've talked about her, who works for the Wild Horses.
Right.
The
right.
Cloud Foundation. I've gone up to Colorado and ridden with her, and Sue De Laurentiis, taking trips to the trail. I go trail riding with her. And so just, you know, I'm in shape enough that I remember enough that I don't get sore, and it's just glorious. I mean, when I went out with Ginger and Sue up in Colorado, it was in September, the fall colors, the trails were really gnarly. And we just spent all day, I think 8 hours out on the trails, and it was just glorious.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, is there an area that you've ridden or a particular ride that maybe has had a stronger impression on you? And that's a hard, I guess.
Yeah, in a non-competitive way. I'm terrible at dates, but I'm going to say about 5 years ago, I decided I was going to ride the Arizona Trail from the border of Utah to the border of Mexico. Mm-hmm. And I had a friend who said she wanted to do it with me, and so we planned for it for a year and a half and had everything planned out. And I felt fairly comfortable because I had such a long background in endurance riding where you learn about the mechanics and metabolics of horses. So you know whether you're asking too much of them and they're getting dehydrated and things like that. So I felt pretty comfortable about doing it. So we rode for a week, and then we came to the Grand Canyon, spent a couple nights at the north rim of the Grand Canyon in a magnificent campground up there, horse campground, and then we headed off the next morning. Well, she got about maybe 50 yards or 50 feet into the canyon, and she freaked out. And, of course, because she freaked out, her horse freaked out, and she turned around and went back. And, you know, lesson number one, carry your own stuff, because she has a sleeping bag. I had the medical kit. There was a couple things I had. But at the time, you know, horses get real panicky if another horse turns around. So I had about 5 seconds to make a decision if I was going to turn around, because my horse was beginning to get to the point where that's what he wanted to do. And I said, I'll see you on the other side. And she yelled, you're crazy. This thing's dangerous. And I said, I know, but I didn't come here to quit, you know. And off I went, and it was the most magical journey that I've ever taken. Took me eight hours to get down to the bottom to Phantom Ranch. Spent the night at Phantom Ranch, camped out on the ground with my horse tied to the pole. You have to get permits to be allowed to do that. Never even dawned on me to ask how many people ride it on their own horses. Apparently, I was the second one that year, and that was
it. Oh, wow. Wow.
Not many people. They say less than 100 people have ridden it on their own horses. Usually, you know, people do the mules.
Mm-hmm.
But ignorance is bliss. But it was absolutely, it was so magnificent, and it was so, it was scary, but I was not afraid. I was on an amazing horse, and we went through it, and it was just, you had to be so in the moment to watch every step, because it's kind of dangerous if you don't have a good trail horse.
Right.
And so I had to be in the moment, and I think it was the first time in maybe my entire life that I was in the moment and not thinking about what I was going to do in 10 minutes or 10 hours or 10 days, and I just had to watch. And it's almost like time stood still for those 2 days. And then I got up at 4 the next morning and headed up, and the mule guys hate people that bring their own horses. They just hate them. And so they sent me up the wrong trail.
Oh, no.
The steep, hot, no water trail.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but it was okay because of my background in endurance. I knew we needed to go slow, and people would see me, and they would say, are you okay? Do you need water? And I'd go, yeah, I do. They'd give me like a quart of water or something, and as soon as they went around the bend, I'd jump off and give it to the horse. And because it was 100 degrees that day, and it took 9 hours to go 7 miles. That's how steep it was.
Oh, my goodness.
But it was amazing, and it's, because I'm 63 years old, and it brought courage back into my life. It helped me remember that I'm not old, and I don't need to limit myself, that I can still do, you know, I wouldn't call that a crazy thing, but that I can still do things that take a lot. Most of the people, when I mention it, 99.99% say, hell no. I wouldn't do that in a million years. I mean, you rarely can find anybody who is kind of like skydiving that, you know, that want to do it. But that was the highlight of my life. It was magnificent. It was serene. It was surreal. It was just me and my horse in survival mode in a magnificent place.
Oh, gosh. Well, I'll have to admit that I'm one of those that could not do that. I readily admit that I have a fear of heights. I have a brother that did go down the canyon on a mule. And kudos to anybody that does that, but particularly if you take your own horse, because I know most of the time it's on mule. And
always on mules, yeah.
Yeah, it's real funny. I'll share this real quick. I've always thought this was funny. My brother and a friend of his were out for some kind of convention, and they decided to go to the canyon and do the mule ride. And I think one of their instructions is keep the mules close together, because you don't want to get a lot of distance between one mule and the other, because they'll at some point decide to rush up and catch up with the other mule. They like to be close together. And so my brother was riding behind his friend, and the friend didn't ride very much, and so he'd kind of fall behind. And he'd say, Steve, your mule up. And so Steve had a little cord or something, and he'd kind of tap the mule with it. And every time he did, the mule would take a step over to the edge.
Oh, gosh.
He had learned if somebody encouraged him and he stepped to that edge, they would stop. And
that was hilarious all
the way down, all the way down. Of course, you know, you have hikers that are coming back up from the bottom, and the mules and the horses have the right of way, so the hikers have to get over to the edge with their back against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And this mule that knew to step over to the edge to stop tapping would stop and relieve himself every time he got in front of a hiker. And, of course, that would just splash, you know, and the hikers have nowhere to go. They're just pinned.
So that mule was having a ball with their work. They were enjoying their work a lot, I think.
I think so. Mules are pretty intelligent animals, and I guess they have a sense of humor, too. So
that sounds like a sense of humor to me. What else has he got to do? He goes up and down the canyon all day. He's got to figure out some games to play.
Yeah, you got to do something. But anyway, well, we want to talk a little bit about Trailblazer Magazine and how that got started. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick break. And I want to mention to our audience that we have a Question Legacy Radio has a Legacy Club. And it's free. The membership in the Legacy Club is free. You can go to equestrianlegacy.net and enroll in that membership club. And we have great sponsors that are offering discounts to our Legacy Club members. And each month we have a drawing for a really neat prize. And then we have a year-end drawing for a grand prize. And this month we are giving having a drawing for a custom laser-engraved portable fire ring. So this is a fire ring that you can take with you if you go camping. They're beautiful. And we'll be giving that away on August the 31st. So visit our website at equestrianlegacy.net and enroll for that, and you're automatically entered in the drawing for that and our monthly drawings that we'll be having. So kudos to our sponsors. And that fire ring is being provided by the shop. It's made in Texas by a Texas artisan, and you can visit them at equestrianlegacy.net as well. So we're going to listen to another Belinda Gale song, and when we come back, Susanna, I want to talk more with you about how Trailblazer came about. The leading trail magazine in the country, and you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Say, Sam, do you remember time ago when we rode together where the Wyoming winds blow? High on a rooftop, just you and me, it was your tea and coffee, about half alkali, and a biscuit or two, we'd down on the fly. That old Mustang fever sure ran in our veins. It seemed like the devil was holding the reins. Now we're chasing old memories, old trails have grown dim, to the cedars and canyons below the Tinny Rim. When it was just you and me and the Mustang there in the blue shadow below the old Tinny Rim. Of our daylight it faded, dead on the ground. Then up before daybreak, we'd go one more round. Walks and them old ponies are just about gone. There's a few left like us, they're still holding on. One of these days, well, they'll catch the last one. But I reckon by then we'll have finished our run. Now we're chasing all the memories, those trails have grown dim, with the cedars and canyons below the Tinny Rim. When it was just you and me and the Mustangs there in the blue saddle, below the old Tinny Rim.
Donna Gibson, who is the founder and publisher of Trailblazer magazine, and it sounds like you have the ideal job.
Oh, yeah. And you have the ideal job also. But, yeah, I do. I have the ideal job. I started Trailblazer on my kitchen table 36 years ago. I was 27 years old, I think. And I am still passionate about it. Every single issue, I still get excited. I'm still passionate. I still care about the articles and the graphics. And it couldn't be, I mean, what a great thing to be able to do trail riding, which I think is just the greatest way to use the horses to get out on the trail. So, yeah, I love my job. In fact, someone asked me, what was my motivation, how, you know, working for myself and from my home office. And I said, I get up and I sit down at my desk at the same time every morning for fear I'd have to go get a real job. And I said that 20 years ago. So it's been an amazing journey to bring the magazine. It started as a newsprint. I got the first issue. I mean, it was just an old yellow newsprint thing. And now to where it's really a artistic piece of art every issue. Someone recently said it was like the National Geographic of horse magazines.
All right. Well, it is. It's a beautiful magazine and well-written, great articles in there. And we've been fortunate to have several folks that are connected with Trailblazer that have been guests on the show. We had Bobby Joel Lieberman's been on, and Dutch Henry and Robert Eversole and Keith Keebler. And finally, we have you on here.
Aren't they wonderful?
That's what
the magazine is. One of the things that's very different about us is, you know, what our editorial is so unique. It's all about trail riding, but it speaks to a higher level because taking care of horses and taking them out on the trails we talked about in the beginning, it's not easy. You have to know how to ride. You have to know how to be in survival skills. You have to know how to take care of your horse if he loses a shoe or gets dehydrated or whatever. So our articles are written by just brilliant, brilliant people. I don't seek out the people that have the most PR press. I seek out the people that I know have the best information and ideas, and their authors. Usually we lock the authors in to write only for Trailblazer magazine and no other major horse magazine. So our stable of writers are pretty, very, very special.
Well, they're great folks. They've all been, all the folks that I've had on have been just great to talk with, just interesting people with great information. But why did you decide to do Trailblazer? I mean, why not Endurance? Why not some other specialty? What was it that caused you to write about trail riding, to create the magazine for trail riding?
Yeah, well, initially it really was about endurance riding.
Okay.
The focus for the first 15 years was primarily endurance riding. And then one day I'm, having a moment thinking about how can I grow, realizing that there's about 5,000 endurance riders in the United States and there's 3 million trail riders. And I thought, I really need to expand out. The discussion on the staff at the time was, if you're going to do trail riding, it's going to be boring. You know, that's the thing. You're just a trail rider, right?
Right.
That it'll be boring. And I said, why in the world would it be boring? I mean, I've never had a boring moment in my life, and I don't intend to start now. So we've been able to go out and bring a combination of sort of about halfway through, we changed to morph into half endurance, half trail riding, and then eventually, about 10 years ago, we went into full trail riding. Although we still talk about endurance, and we still will have Keith usually writes his stories based on training your horse up to do competitions. But there's so much to write about. I mean, there's the hoof, the saddle fit, and when you bring in the very top best people, which I think we have, our readers are learning more than they've learned, they're telling us, they learn more in Trailblazer than they learn from any other horse magazine. So that's because what I'm passionate about is editorial. Some magazines in all different genres, they want to fill the magazines up with words so they can sell advertising. Well, if I cared more about money and advertising, I'd be a millionaire, but I care more about the editorial. And the greatest thing was when Bobby Joe Lieberman Weber came on board. She had semi-retired. She was associate editor at Equus Magazine at the beginning of Equus. Equus and Trailblazer started the first year together. We shared that anniversary. And she had semi-retired, and she was thinking about getting back into publishing. And everybody was after her. I mean, Horse Illustrated and Equus, and I mean, she's just the best. And
yeah.
And she's been a friend of mine for over 30 years through endurance riding. And so she had moved to Arizona, and I drove down and met with her, and I said, I'm looking for an editor. And she said, yes, I couldn't pay what the big magazines paid, but she didn't want to be in a cubicle. She didn't want to be contained. She wanted to have the freedom to do what she does best. And so she's really, really brought an amazing dimension to the magazine. She co-writes books with Linda Tollington Jones. She co-writes books with Peggy Cummings. I mean, just really brilliant people. Susie Laurentiis, another girl who writes for us, who's just brilliant. I think she's co-writing and co-authoring a book with her, editing it. So she has the same philosophy as me about how to take care of horses and how to present it. And she just has brought a new dimension that makes it really, really exciting. Plus, she's been one of my best friends forever. So what a blessing to have, you know, an editor, the best editor in the business, and also one of my very best friends. We really have a lot of fun.
Well, that's great. It can't get any better than that. And, again, Bobby Joe is so much fun to talk with and just a super, super person. So you've got a great team that helps put together a great magazine. And you know, it's interesting, as you were talking, I'm kind of relating a little bit to myself. I wish I'd started something like this years ago, but the technology didn't present itself to be able to do that. But when we did start this show, it was just to talk about horses. And kind of grew, and then we added the musical aspect to it, because I don't think there's anything better than music and horses together. They all touch your heart and your soul. And it's real interesting. I got a message last night. I won't name names, but I had an artist that sent me a message, and they said, I just want to share this with you. And she had gotten a message from someone that said, your music and your love of horses actually saved my life. They've been going through a difficult time, and they had sent a message, and they felt inclined to share that with me, which was, you know, I was appreciative of that. But then we've just added an extra show on Tuesday nights called Saddle Up America. And the reason that we did that is, yeah, I'm excited to have you. You're part of that show now, and we're just grateful for that. But
you've done something no one's been able to do, is bring me out of the bunker.
Oh,
I'm actually a very private person. People wouldn't think, you know, being a publisher, that you would like to be out and be the center of attention. But really, I don't. I love the mechanics of putting everything together. But I usually have other people go out and be a spokesperson. But yeah, I just want to work with you on that. It's going to be a fun show that you're doing. And there's so much to talk about trail riding and technical stuff and just fun stuff, inspiring people's stories. Just goes on and on, and we love, I mean, Dutch Henry writes some heartbeats for us each month.
Right.
And he just pulls out the most amazing stories from around the country of inspiration with people and horses.
Well, you've got a great staff, and, you know, trail riders today make up about 90% of all horse use, and you know, we couldn't be happier on Saddle Up America. You're joining us, I believe that's the third Tuesday of each month. Backcountry Horsemen, we partnered with a year ago, and they've been on our Thursday show, but they're joining us now the first Tuesday of the month. Jim McGarvey is the chairman of Backcountry Horsemen, because we know if we don't keep these trails open, there are no places for trail riders to ride.
That's very important.
Yeah, and then Robert, the trail meister Eversoal, who has great trail hints and tips, and I know likes to eat well when he's on the trail, is on the second Tuesday of the month. So it's going to be a fun show. It already is, but it's getting better all the time, and we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, Robert writes for us, and he's just an amazing guy. I don't know if I didn't listen to that last show, but if you go into his background, I mean, he was in, you know, special ops and Wall Street banking and, I don't know, all these interesting things, which should probably kill me for mentioning. But so, you know, they say, oh, he's just a trail rider. Well, he's a brilliant guy. And when he writes about survival skills, it's because he lived it in the military. And he's,
you know, I did not know that. I did not know that. I tell you, and I'm going to mention that, and I'm glad you shared
that. Probably kill me for he wants to be a horse person now. He wants, you know, but that's in his bio in the magazine, so I guess I didn't give away.
Yeah, not too much. We're doing a special show, and I haven't told anybody about this, so we'll just let folks know this now. But September the 11th 911 actually falls on a Thursday in September. And so Equestrian Legacy Radio is doing a salute. It's a special two-hour program that we're going to do as a salute to our first responders and our service people. We've got some great guests that are lined up for that show and some stories and some amazing music. There's a gentleman that's riding across the country.
Mark Luttrell, yep. Yeah. Oh, he's amazing.
He'll be with us. R.W. Hampton, who has some great music. His son is a Marine. He's written a couple of songs that are just amazing. R.W. is going to join us. So we've got some really interesting guests that are going to be part of that as we kind of salute America. And it involves people that are involved in horses and the horse world. So it's going to be a fun show on September the 11th.
Oh, I'm so glad that you're doing that, because I don't, you know, we need to remember 9/11. And we need to remember it in a positive way and remember the first responders and our military. I'm really, really happy to know that you're going to have a show like that.
Well, we're looking forward to that. And I told somebody the other day that as we were talking about putting this together, it's going to be a fun show, but you might need to have your tissue close by.
Yeah.
Well, but anyway, we're excited. I'm thrilled to have had you joining us today on the show, and looking forward to talking more with you. You're an extremely interesting woman, and
you have no idea. Actually, I'm not kidding, but I won't tell all my stories. But I have the best job in the world. Like you said, I've got a staff with Diane and Dennis and our graphic designer. I mean, there isn't another horse magazine out there that is as gorgeous and creative in the articles. We're so different than other magazines just because we have a different approach to it. So people say that Trailblazers is the best kept secret in the horse industry, so I want to change that perception. I really want people to be able to know about the magazine and look for it and read it and see if you like it and see if you can want to subscribe to it, because it really is different than anything different perspective than you see from any of the other horse magazines.
Well, and I'll mention that. Go to our homepage on equestrianlegacy.net. And click on Trailblazer, and it'll take you right to their website, so you can get some great information there. And it's going to be fun.
Let me mention one more thing. We created a page actually last night. It's www.freetrailblazer.com, freetrailblazer.com. And if people go there, they can fill out their name and email, and they'll be able to immediately read a current issue of Trailblazer. Digital issue right away. So we want people to be able to read it and see it, and then if they like it, they can subscribe. It's not a we bill you thing or anything. It's completely free, and we don't usually do that, but I wanted to do that for your show and for all your listeners.
Well, I appreciate that very much. And so please, and what is the, what, how do they get to that again?
It's www.freetrailblazer.com.
Okay, freetrailblazer.com, and you can read a digital issue right there, and you can join us and talk to Susanna each Tuesday, the third Tuesday of the month, on Saddle Up America on Tuesday nights at 7 Central Time, and it's going to be so much fun having you on, and I don't know how we'll talk about your skydiving on that particular show. But.
Bucket list, you know.
Bucket list.
52 years old, went skydiving for the first time and wanted to do it for 50 years, so we can fill that in. But I just think it's fun to keep putting goals out ahead of yourself, and just, there's so much turmoil in the world, but let's just get out on our horses and ride and go out where it's quiet and beautiful and get away from it all, because it's just, there's nothing better than that.
Well, that's going to be fun. Hey, let me mention Tuesday night, this coming Tuesday night at 7 on Saddle Up America. We've got Showtime Trailers that are going to be joining us, and we're going to be talking about everything you want to know about horse trailers. So you can call in and ask your questions, but we'll be talking about horse trailers. We'll be playing trail trivia, and you'll win a great gift from one of our legacy, or from one of our Trail Trivia sponsors. And I think this week it's a breakaway halter. We've partnered up with Lope for Hope. That is a group that helps support cowgirls who have been going through cancer. And so they provide some items for us, as well as Camp with Horses and Espana Silk products. But Trail Trivia on Tuesday nights. And then we're going to be going to Virginia to visit Iron Mountain Horse Camp. And talk about what you can see there and get involved in. So that's going to be a fun show Tuesday night. Susanna, you can tune in and listen. And you can even play Trail Trivia. Yeah, you can play Trail Trivia. And then next Thursday on this show at noon central, we're going to be talking about the American Horsewoman's Challenge. It is the first competition just for horsewomen. And that will be in Oklahoma City, but we'll be talking with Jim Hutchinson, who created this event. Mary Miller Jordan, who won the Mustang Million, is going to be joining us for that show, and she's a competitor in the Horsewoman's Challenge. And then Templeton Thompson, who is a very talented singer, songwriter, and horsewoman herself, will be joining us as our musical guest, and she'll be providing the entertainment for that event in Oklahoma City. So a lot of fun stuff.
I think you have the best job in the world.
Well, I haven't been to Jamaica to ride horses yet, but maybe I'd like to take the show on the road. That would be a lot of fun to do. And yeah, maybe we can meet up on the trail somewhere and do a show together. That would be a lot of
fun. How about the Grand Canyon?
Except for the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, how about skydiving?
Or skydiving.
Okay. I'll think of something.
From the height. Yeah, you'll come up with
something. Okay.
But anyway, you have been a joy to talk with today. Just have thoroughly enjoyed this. Honored that you came out of seclusion to talk with us. And we're looking forward to having you on the show in September on Tuesday night as well. So thanks so much for joining us.
I am so proud to be part of your show. Thank you so much, Gary.
Well, we appreciate it. And for our listeners out there today, I hope that you've enjoyed the show. We remind you, as always, if you climb in the saddle, get ready for the ride. And we'll close the show today with a song by Templeton Thompson, and it's Wishing You Wings. Susanna, thanks for joining us, and thanks to our audience for listening.
Learn to let go.